Oh, hey there. Welcome back to another episode of the Motherhood and Money Show. I'm your host, Bethany Bayless. Join me every week as we talk about all things motherhood and all things money. This is a completely shame-free space where we know there's a lot of ways to talk about motherhood and money. So let's figure it out together. All right, sounds good. Here we go. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Motherhood and Money Show. My name is Bethany Bayless, and we're going to be talking this week with Ali Gabelman from Financial Intentions about just that, being financially intentional. I'm super looking forward to this conversation. It is hitting at a really good time for us because I have a little bit of an announcement. I will talk about it in this episode and in my conversation with Ali. And so I wanted you to be the first to know officially. Travis and I are actually in the process of buying our home. And what I mean by that is we've talked a lot about on this podcast how renting has been the best choice for us the last 6 years that we've been together. You know, when Marissa was on the show, we would talk about the difference between she was a homeowner and I was not for the longest time. And that was just the best financial decision for us when it came to our position, our finances, and all those things. And so we have since bought the home that we have been renting. So we're really excited. We're really excited about being first-time homeowners. But let me tell you, this is a process. I think I did not prepare myself enough for the process of the paperwork and the things that we have to get in order. And the again, just the entire process. I wasn't sure of a lot of words that were being used, a lot of the things that we had to do. Like I learned about escrow and I'm very just new to all of this. And so I think it's kind of an interesting time. We wanted to go big. Apparently we're having baby number two. We want to just, you know, do the whole process of buying a house and the 8 month pregnant portion of this. So it's been a lot of fun. The good news is though, I'm really excited. We don't have to move. We get to buy a house and we don't have to move whilst expecting baby number two. It's a financial win that I want to celebrate with you as my audience of something that we've been working towards. And I just want to say that this decision is very personal for our finances. Personal finance is personal. I remember when I would have friends who would buy a home and I would be really disappointed in a way that we weren't in that situation yet. We weren't able to buy a home yet. And I kept telling myself I wanted to do it in the right way. I wanted us to be able to financially take on the massive, massive duty of having, of being a homeowner. And so I just want to encourage you, if you are in the place where you're renting is the best thing for you. I'm a firm believer in whatever is the best situation for you. You're doing great. You're doing amazing. And if homeownership is in the future for you and you're working towards it, then keep going. You're doing awesome. I know it can get really discouraging in this market and all the things. You got this. And thanks for sharing that one with me. I'm really excited about this conversation with Ali. Like I said, this is coming at a really great time for even a reminder for me as we're buying a house, as we're waiting for baby number two, as we are looking at parental leave and what parental leave pay is going to look like, and me taking time off to have this baby and me not working. And I'm really excited. In a few weeks, I'm going to have a conversation about taking maternity leave for the self-employed. And it's a great conversation. But this week, we're going back to just one of the fundamentals that we teach here on the Motherhood and Money Show, which is to be intentional with your spending and what that looks like. And I'm really excited to talk to Ali from Financial Intentions. She is the mom of two young boys, a CPA, and a personal finance educator. She and her husband have increased their net worth by $365,000 in the past 4 years. They're able to do this while intentionally decreasing their income. That's right, decreasing their income to work part-time to be at home more with their kids. Ali's passionate about teaching others, especially fellow parents, how to build wealth without making big sacrifices. She and her sister run Financial Intentions with Ali and Charlie, where they teach millennials to build wealth through budgeting, investing, and paying off debt. I'm really excited to have Allie here, and we'll be right back here on the Motherhood and Money Show. And welcome back to the Motherhood and Money Show. I'm here with Allie Gabelman, and we're going to be, I'm so excited about our conversation today. Allie, how are you?
Good, good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. I loved looking over your site and all of the things that you have going on with your sister. And I just like, what is it like being in business with a family member? Because I have experience with my mom, but never with a sibling.
It's been great. We have, you know, some funny, like, you know, sister conversations that you probably wouldn't have with a normal business partner. We're a little bit more blunt with each other, but it's great because we do have that raw, unfiltered honesty with a sister.
You have that freedom to be like, actually, no.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No. That sucked. Okay, please redo it.
Actually, that was the worst idea I've ever heard. Let's try again.
Yeah. And of course she does the same to me.
Right. And with my mom, we like would talk to each other, like probably, is it normal when you have a business relationship? But like having that freedom in a business relationship is actually kind of nice because you still love each other.
Yeah.
There's always that foundation. Yeah, I love everything that you're talking about over at Financial Intentions. And like, that's really what we're going to dive into today is having intentional mindset when it comes to finances. And I think this is so incredibly important when it comes to just kind of knowing when to say no, not just in our finances, but as moms and kind of understanding, unfortunately, we'd love to and we think we can do it all, but we can't.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Let's first talk about like what is for you intentionally
a financial intentions mindset.
What is that?
So a financial intentions mindset is just spending money based on values, essentially. So value-based spending. So you only spend money on things that you truly need or they really bring you joy. And the whole point is to minimize or eliminate expenses that don't fit into those two categories. So they don't bring a lot of joy or you don't need them. And the whole reason behind minimizing your spending as much as possible is to, of course, then turn that excess money into financial goals. So whether it's a certain savings goals, building up your emergency savings, investing, or all of the above.
Absolutely. I love that so much because I am a born spender. I think I read that you and your sister, are you the born saver of the two of you?
Yeah, yeah, I am. And she's more of the spender who's had to like learn some hard lessons, rein it in. Not that I haven't as well, but I think she learned it a few more times.
Yep, I'm totally on the born saver. And like sometimes I think things bring me joy, but it's really just they bring me dopamine and serotonin.
Right, yeah. And like reflecting through your past spending, like you really want to avoid shame, right? You don't want to feel guilt or shame when you go through your past expenses. But when you have an intentional mindset and you're doing that, if there's anything that you spent money on and you look back and you're like, gosh, I kind of wish I hadn't spent that money on that activity, then, you know, just don't do it again. Basically.
I so love that you mentioned that because that was immediately where my mind went of like, ugh, I have spent so much money on random crap. How do I not feel horrible about that?
Yeah, no like, shame. It's just a moving forward mindset, you know?
Yes. And this is, we often say this is a shame-free space. So I feel thank you for giving me that freedom too, because I love the idea of a financially intentional mindset because I feel like I have developed more into that over the reflection of as life goals change, right? Like my life is very different than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and maybe things I spent on that brought me joy back then. Like I don't want to necessarily spend there because I have other goals now, right? Like
absolutely,
buying a house.
Yeah. And same with me. Yeah.
And how did that develop for you? Like how was your experience developing into, okay, I want to be more intentional with my money. I want to make sure that I'm doing this according to my values.
Yeah. So that really changed after I had my first son. So my oldest son is 4 years old. And throughout the entire pregnancy with him, I was stressing about, I had a very stressful job at the time. It was very rewarding. I loved my boss. I loved my team, but I worked a lot of hours and there was like no end in sight for when those hours would like level off, get to more traditional 40 hours a week. And so while working these long hours with this ever-growing stomach, I started to get worried about like, how am I going to juggle this all? How am I going to be a mom and still, like, you know, rock this job I have? And
boss babe.
Yeah, exactly. How do you be a boss babe and like a mom babe and a wife babe and a friend babe and a family member babe, you know?
Please.
And so I actually summoned up the courage before leaving for maternity leave to ask my boss if I could return with a 4-day a week schedule. So not jamming 10 hours per day and still keeping my 40 hours, but cutting back, taking a pay cut to only 32 hours. So still the same 8 hours per day, but only one less day a week, right? And it took her like a month of negotiating with her, you know, the higher ups to get that. And so I felt really lucky to have that. But that whole process made me think, because during maternity leave was when they were finalizing it. So after my son was born, it still was not yet finalized. So I really started to kind of think like, what am I going to do if they say no? And that's was kind of the beginning of this intentional mindset, because we started to go through and be like, okay, if I don't go back to work, like what can we cut? Can we make ends meet? How are we going to go through this? And that was kind of the beginning. And then after he was born and I now have a second son who's 2 years old, this whole mindset has just continued to evolve. And like you had mentioned, reflecting on what I used to spend 5-10 years ago on what I spend now, it's intentionally different because my goals are different.
And I love that fact too, that it's okay, right? Like if I used to spend $200 on my hair, like that, there's no shame in that. I don't do that anymore. But back then it was totally fine, right? Like it was totally like $300 dresses. Who cares, you know?
Right, right. And like for us, it was like a really expensive sushi dinner date, you know, that we would Uber there, have expensive sushi, do the drinks and Uber back. I mean, like, so much
me. Fancy.
My husband and I, well, the Uber was because of the drinking, obviously. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, of course, responsibility here.
But yeah. And so, you know, we just don't value that type of stuff anymore. And instead, I would rather, what we have done is find ways to live off of less so we can be home more with the boys.
I love that so much. And it's really hitting home because I haven't mentioned on the podcast yet. My husband and I are actually in the process of buying our home that we had rented for the last 6 years. We are now buying it ourselves in a Southern California market, which has been a journey.
It has been an
exploration.
I live in Orange County. It's Southern California.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So, I live up in Santa Clarita. So not as expensive as Orange County, but
still the insane market. Southern California housing market. So I'm there with you.
The insane. Yes. And so we're finally able to buy a house, and it's the exact same thing of like, wow, we're not going to have as much, I don't want to say surplus income, but not as much of a cushion,
right?
If you will,
not as much room for discretionary spending.
100%. And like we're like, oh, we need to be more financially intentional about our expenses. And you know, it's funny. Like I'm a financial podcaster, but it means that like I feel like these are all stages, right? Like these happen in different areas of life. We're about to have baby number two, buying a house, and being more financially intentional with our money. So can we talk about the how of the financially intentional? Let's dive into like what it means and how we're able to do this in all of our seasons of life.
Yeah. Yeah. So the big first step of the how you go about this is kind of finding your why. And that might sound like cheesy to some people, but honestly, if you don't know why you are working towards a certain goal, then you're not really going to be very motivated along the way. So as parents, our why could be to be home more with our kids or to be able to pay for X, Y, and Z activities for our kids. Or, you know, we might have more like personal whys that don't have to do with kids, but whatever it is, knowing the why is step one, because then you have your motivation to get started. After you have that, then we like to start, everybody start with building a budget. And that's where the kind of reflecting on your past spending comes in, because it's hard to build a budget for tomorrow if you don't even have a starting point, right? So if you've never used a budget before, then our favorite is the 50-30-20 budgeting method. It's like kind of says right in the name what it is. So it's 50% of your income goes towards your needs, and then 30% towards your wants, and 20% towards financial goals. Now, you and I both live in high cost of living areas, and we have kids. So meeting that 50% needs is not always possible. So I just want to remind your listeners that that is just like a framework to work towards, not something to obsess or freak out over. Like, oh my gosh, I'm spending 60% on my needs. That's might be part of the season of life that we're in right now. So have grace with yourself if you're trying out this budgeting method, not exactly hitting those percentages. The overall goal is to just allocate as much as you can to your financial goals. And so with that 50-30-20 framework in mind and reflecting upon your spending, you kind of put your past expenses into these buckets. So you have things like housing expenses, utilities, transportation, minimum debt payments would go in the needs. And then shopping, getting your hair done, like you had mentioned, going out to restaurants, those things go in the wants. And then your financial goals bucket is everything from investing to paying off your debt early. So any debt payments that are above the minimum amount, saving for a house, you know, building up your emergency savings. Those are the types of things we want to aim to dedicate 20% of our income to if we can.
Totally. And I love what you're saying too about like it might not necessarily be like exactly 50% or like there might be different times in your life that things have to change and maybe you don't have as much discretionary spending while you focus on needs. Like it's a really crazy time in our economy right now.
Yeah.
Like, inflation. And we already talked about the housing market.
And childcare.
Childcare. So expensive. Oh my gosh. I can't even tell you. Childcare, gas prices of even going to your job. I don't know where it is by you. We're at about $6.50 a gallon. Where I am,
we're pretty much the same. I think 640.
It's like we're you know really paying attention to these things. So it's totally okay if like maybe those needs need to take up a little bit more than 50%. But also something that you said that I really love is going back to your why. And for you, you mentioned it was staying home with your kids more.
Yeah.
And it was having that time with your family that you valued more than maybe necessarily having like more income, right?
Right, right. Yeah. And so that is not going to be like everybody's why. I just shared that because that's my why in this phase of my life. But I also have struggled with anxiety. And I had a series of anxiety attacks at my last job that kind of led to me really reflecting on like, why am I putting myself and my body and my family through all this stress? Do we really need to? And so that's like, even for me, you kind of have to keep going back to your why, because that why might change from season to season too. So it's not like, you know, what you sit down and journal today might not forever be your permanent why, you know, or what you're working towards.
And I so appreciate you bringing that up. I also struggle with anxiety. Mm-hmm. I first started having my first anxiety attacks in my first pregnancy. Oh. And it was one of those things that I would wake up in the middle of the night and just like have a panic attack. And it was really hard. And so evaluating mental health as being a high priority, I'm all for that. And I'm all for like, if this is not serving you, if this is not serving your family, let's find a way to make it happen where we can work out our finances. I've talked to friends too, who say, I just don't know if I can afford the therapy that I've depended on for years. I don't know if I can afford it anymore. And giving the permission to be like, this is a huge priority.
Yeah.
Like mental health is a massive priority, and let's work on your budget and let's work on shifting around your finances so that we can afford this every month.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's where like reflecting through your expenses. And we usually like people to go through the past 3 months if they can, because you might have some subscription stuff, something like that, that doesn't come up every month. So combing through everything to really reflect on, do all of these things bring value to my life? Do all of these things that I am spending my precious resource money on bring joy to my family, and or is it a need? Because when you are having, you know, questions like, should I continue going to this therapy that's really helping me? I feel like I can't afford it. Meanwhile, you are kind of unknowingly maybe paying for subscriptions or getting out or shopping, any of those things a little bit more than you realize. Because I think a lot of people who don't pay attention to it, they might accidentally doing it more than they realize.
Oh my goodness. And I can be the very first to attest, those subscriptions are sneaky.
Yes.
Like I was just looking over our, you know, doing our budget. I'm like, where on earth this $5.99 Stars subscription start? Like, when did we subscribe to this and let's get rid of it? And immediately, like, I've gotten so good at going into my Amazon and be like, unsubscribe, please, from this channel.
Oh, from the like subscription
channel that I didn't even know that we like subscribed to at one point. It's and it's funny because this conversation, I'm just getting so many flashbacks. I had a wonderful woman named Krista Lockwood on the show a few episodes ago, and she was a decluttering expert.
Yeah, similar, actually.
This feels so similar. Like, we're decluttering our budget. And one of the things that she said about decluttering your space, we're talking about like the benefits of mental health and like all the same, like very similar benefits. One of the things that stuck out that she said was, we clear out the things that we're not using so that we can have room for those things that actually matter. And she used the example of a wedding dress of like, I don't care if you keep your wedding dress, like don't feel guilty about keeping that, but let's get rid of the things that are taking up space so you have space for your wedding dress.
Yeah, absolutely. That is very similar to what I'm trying to get at. That's I'm so glad you brought that up because it is so similar to decluttering. You're essentially decluttering your money, your finances and what you spend on and making sure that you only leave room for what brings value and or you need, just like decluttering your home.
Absolutely. Can you share with me your metaphorical, like what would be your wedding dress that you save in your budget that maybe like not everyone would keep their wedding dress, but it brings you joy and happiness?
Yeah.
What are some of those things in your budget that are like, if this aligns with your values, if this brings you joy, if this works in your budget, this is okay to keep in. And like you said, your why is different. I'm curious about your wedding dress.
Yeah. So my metaphorical wedding dress would probably be, we have this monthly pass to an indoor playground that's right around the corner from our house.
It is
it's kind of expensive, except that we go all the time. So I have two high energy boys, 4 years old and 2 years old. And the ability to go to this fully air conditioned indoor playground that is around the corner from our house that's our metaphorical wedding dress, because the kids love it. We can escape the heat during, you know, a hot summer day. And that's the thing that we make sure we have room for in our budget right now. That's my metaphorical wedding dress.
I love that so much. My metaphorical wedding dress is Disney. So I feel like in the OC, you are maybe familiar with Disney adults like myself.
Yeah.
Dare I use the term?
Yeah. Would you be jealous if I told you from our house we can hear Disneyland fireworks every night?
Yes. I'm so
it's like my bedtime alarm. They go off at 9:30. I'm like, oh
my gosh, I can't. I always wondered what it would be like to live so close to Disney, because there are these people that just go after work, like to Disney.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? I am so jealous. But Disney is definitely my metaphorical wedding dress. And one of the things that you have said is that intentional spending is not extreme frugality. And I would love to dive into that, because I think oftentimes we have the opposite of an abundance mindset.
Scarcity mindset.
There it is. A scarcity mindset when it comes to like, ugh, I now can't afford my budget, or like I have to cut back. I have to do this. But in actuality, it's giving you permission to be intentionally spending, and not, it doesn't necessarily mean extreme frugality. So what does that mean to you?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it all kind of revolves around the value-based spending and what is, like you said, this metaphorical wedding dress. Like, what is that to you? Everybody's going to have a different answer to that. And so keeping what is important to you in your budget, and then just cutting out what's kind of wasteful spending or, you know, not mindful spending. And so, yeah, we like to say that is not extreme frugality, because in my mind, being extremely frugal even cuts out those things. And so I feel like that is really not sustainable. Extreme frugality is not sustainable, because you'll just get burnt out, because you feel like you never get to do these things that used to bring you joy. And it'll be hard to accomplish some of these long-term financial goals if you have this scarcity mindset or extreme frugality. You know, it has many names, but it's hard to sustain a long-term mindset when you are feeling like you never get to enjoy what you're doing, you know, or enjoy life. A lot of people equate having a high amount of discretionary spending as like, you know, YOLO lifestyle, living the life. And I feel like we can strike a balance somewhere in between, right? Where we can still dedicate money to our monthly goals, you know, or to dedicate monthly money to our financial goals and still enjoy life along the way. You just have to be mindful.
And I love that so much because I have been accused so many times of being cheap.
Yeah.
Right? Because if it's not aligning with like what if someone like, let's go have that super fancy dinner 3 nights in a row and maybe the third night, I'm like, you know what? I think I might just stay back and eat leftovers or whatever. Like I might get be accused of being called cheap. And yet, on the other hand, I can sometimes be accused of being rich by the same people. The same people who call me cheap also are like, dang, you have so much money to do these things. And it's like,
it's because I said no to dinner 3 times in a row.
It's like, no, because I do it this way is the reason why.
Yeah, we exactly. Can do this. Exactly. That's, and I've had that too. And it's hard to say no to people, especially if they're loved ones, right? Or good friends. It's hard to say no to the third dinner date in your example. But yeah, just saying, kind of rephrasing it is like, oh, that's not in our budget right now. It's not in our spending plan right now. Instead of like, I can't afford that. I mean, in reality, it's a little bit two ways to say a similar thing, but just phrasing it in a more positive way. And hopefully whoever you surround yourself with won't, you know, be shaming you for that because they should be cheering you along.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know.
I'm just going to say I am choosing to not afford that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another one too. Yeah. Yeah. I am choosing. That really like puts it on them. Like you are choosing to afford it. I am choosing not to.
I am choosing to go a different direction with my money. But oftentimes like Instagram can be a highlight reel, right? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like that with our finances maybe. Like if people are seeing us on Instagram taking a lavish vacation and being like, oh, wow, I wonder how they afford that.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not seeing all the areas that you cut back in. And they're not seeing all the times you don't go out to dinner or you don't do these things. And so how do we see other people doing these things and sometimes feel like maybe like, oh, shoot, I'm not – like I can't afford that. I'm trying really hard. How do we encourage ourselves to not see the highlight reel all the time, basically?
Yeah. So that, again, I think goes back to knowing your why. So, you know, why are you trying to cut back on spending? Are you trying to cut back, you know, that, and again, that's going to be different for everybody. For me, it was to spend more time at home with my boys while they're little. And I wanted to start my business with my sister, Financial Intentions. And so, for me, it was just too much to juggle it all. So taking a reduction in income by leaving my job was worth it because I'm working on these other things. I now have more time to spend at home with my family and I can work on building my business. And so not going out to dinner as much and hardly ever shopping for new clothes and those types of things is worth it for me temporarily, you know, until my business gets up and running and just kind of taking everything seasons too, I think is especially important as a parent.
Mm. And it's interesting too, how I feel like, and I don't know if you can relate to this, sometimes when we're focusing on our goals and like the things that we're working towards and our why, I lose interest in those things of like, I lose interest in buying those clothes that like, I used to buy a lot of clothes, especially when I was traveling and working. And I just have very little interest. I have very little interest in doing my hair when I used to spend, like I used to have Ariel hair when I would go to Disneyland. It was long red and extensions.
Oh,
it
nice.
Because I could only do it once in my life, really. But I just not as interested anymore. And again, it goes back to those seasons and how seasons have changed. And I'm really curious too, what are some of, like, we've talked about the 50% needs, the 30% discretionary spending, basically, and then the other 20% of helping us save for goals, right?
Yeah.
So what are some of the goals that you have been able to save for with this intentional spending and some of the things that you've been able to do? You know, we talked about spending time with your boys, but are there financial goals that you guys are working towards?
Yeah, absolutely. So this financial intentions mindset has developed like over the course of the past 5-ish years for me. And I say that because it's not overnight, and the financial goals we've been able to accomplish obviously did not also happen overnight. So in the past like 5-6 years, we've paid off over $50,000 of debt. So that is inclusive of student loan and our car loans. We have no debt except for our mortgage right now. And that's we're able to refinance for a low interest rate. So we are not interested in paying that off ahead of schedule right now. So our only debt is our mortgage. And we bought an older home, and we've been able to cash flow over $30,000 of home projects.
Amazing.
Over the past like 6 years of home ownership.
Yeah, so I hope my husband is listening to this episode right now.
You can send him the link after.
I always do. He knows where to find it.
That's funny. So we have cash flowed home renovation projects. And I feel like that is extremely important to point out, because a lot of people will refinance and cash out or do other types of, you know, accumulating debt type activities to do home renovation projects. And again, there's no shame in that, but you can also just go at a slower pace, set up a savings goal for whatever project, and then you can cash flow it. Mm-hmm. So we are proud that we've been able to do that. And all simultaneously, we have been contributing to our emergency savings and investing in our 401ks through our jobs. And so through the increase in value in our home in the past 4 years and the increase in investments, we have been able to increase our net worth by over $365,000. And I say we, my husband and I together, share that net worth in the past 4 years. So yeah, and that has to do with debt payoff, investing, and homeownership are like the three ways we've been able to do that.
That is amazing. And I
thank you.
Like I love that this, or you know, the proof is in the pudding, mm-hmm. right? Like it is doable. And I like what you said about it being sustainable. Mm-hmm. Like this is something that is slowly but surely working at these things. Allie, thank you so much for having this conversation with us. I love all the things that we touched on and just the importance of financial spending or intentional financial spending so that we can focus on the things that bring us value and declutter our budget. And so I just so appreciate you coming on.
Yes. Thank you so much. It was wonderful to be here and have a conversation with you.
Absolutely. And where can people find you?
We are on Instagram at Financial Intentions, and we're on TikTok as FI Sisters.
Nice.
We also have a website. Yeah. Yeah. So we're cool TikTok girls.
I'm
going to
go follow you TikTok now.
Yeah.
On
yeah.
TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah. And our website is www.financial-intentions.com. And yeah, if you have Instagram or TikTok, post there every single day. So you can see our, you know, greatest tips and tricks or something funny or something motivational. We try to mix it up.
I love it. Thanks so much again, Allie. And we'll be right back on the Motherhood and Money Show. And welcome back to the Motherhood and Money Show. Thank you so much to Allie for hanging out with us this week and talking about spending intentionally, earning intentionally, all of the things to do and do them with purpose. And this has been a really great conversation. I'm so glad that you were able to join us this week for this episode. We're going to be back next week with another episode talking about all of these things when it comes to motherhood and money. And I can't wait. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have time, go follow us over at Motherhood and Money Show. You will see all the things that we talk about in these episodes when I post pictures, when I refer to things going on. That's a really great way to engage with us over there on Instagram. And we'll see you next week for another awesome episode. And friend, mama, if no one has told you lately, you're doing an amazing job. You are a great mom and you're doing awesome. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.